Morning, all saints. And today's reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. The page in the church Bible is 1083. That's 1083. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, in the name of the Father, will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
If you are a car driver, do you remember your first ever car? 1984, sky blue VW Polo, VOW 184Y. Unforgettable. When you got your first car, here's what you do. You want your car to be exactly as you need it to be. Checking out the bodywork, first of all, that there's no dents. You open the driver's door. Find your keys. You get in and you find it's a bit too cramped. So first of all, you've got to adjust the seat so that the pedals are exactly the right distance, exactly like you want them to be. So you can press the brake all right, the accelerator, you're sorted. Then you check the rear view mirror so that it's at the right angle. Just get that right so you can see everything you need to. And then, of course, very important, your wing mirrors. 1984, they didn't have electrified ones, so you needed a bit of help from someone. And once you got them sorted, then you tune the radio to your favorite station, because the previous owner, they were listening to Radio 3, which was good when Test Match Special was on, but the other times you need Radio 5, so you tune to that. And finally, you get your sat-nav. In this day and age, yeah. If you don't have it, Roger, you can use my iPhone. It's got Google Maps. It's brilliant. And you type in where you want to go. Your car is your kingdom. In other words, you're in the driving seat. You want everything adjusted so it's exactly right. Then you can put photos of it on Facebook, and all your friends think, I wish I had a car like that. This is one way to try to live your whole life, where everything is just adjusted as far as possible for you. You've worked out where to go, what you want to see, the angle you want to see it at, what you want to tune into. And all your friends think, I wish I had a drive through life like that, even if it does include holding church tea towels. A round of applause for our driver. Thanks, Roger. It's possible to live your life like that. A life where you are king of your own kingdom. And because we've invited Roger to not have to be a driver the whole way through, that is one picture of a drive-through life. Here is the picture Jesus gives of kingdom life. He likens it to a vine. Now, this isn't a real car. This isn't a real vine. I've hung grapes on it. But this morning, this is a vine. Jesus says, if you have a Bible there, John 15, verse 1, this is his picture, not mine. Throughout the Old Testament, in different places, God's people are likened to a vine in a kingdom where God is king. And in that kingdom, in this vineyard, they're meant to be the people who God looks after and lovingly tends. He's the vineyard gardener who wants the absolute best for them. John chapter 15, verse 1. We heard Andrew read it just a moment ago, page 1083. My Father is the gardener. I, says Jesus, am the true vine. Here's what was happening with God's people throughout the Old Testament. They were meant to be the vine looked after by God the gardener. But constantly they were saying, no, I want to be in the driving seat. I want to live in this kingdom, adjusting life to how I want. So Jesus calls himself the true vine. In other words, the vine that God's people were always meant to be. You want to see the sort of life that God longs for you to have, for me to have, for Joshua to have, for anyone on earth to have? God sends his son as the ultimate visual aid. Here's what kingdom life is meant to look like. Look at Jesus. I am the true vine. The sort of a vine that God longs to use to be fruitful in. God is like this gardener who is passionate for what he's growing. He will do whatever it takes for his vines to produce the best possible grapes. If you're a gardener of a serious kind, you'll get this perhaps. And Jesus is saying, he is on the receiving end of his Father's care and attention and passionate love. He says to his disciples and to us this morning, follow me. I'm the vine, and I'm longing for you to be the branches that will bear fruit. The kingdom life is one where a life is like a branch on a vine, and the same love of God which is poured out on Jesus, Jesus pours out on us. This is what he says, verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. When God looks at you and me, if we're a part of the vine, he sees Jesus. That's why in the prayer that Jesus invited us to pray, it begins, Our Father. We can call God the same name that Jesus called him. My Father, said Jesus, is the gardener. He can be yours and mine. He is, if you trust him, if you put your faith in him, if you can say and mean the same thing that three people said in a baptism pool in the middle of church last Sunday, Easter Sunday. They were asked the question, Rachel and George and Frank, and many of us have said the same thing at different times in our lives. Do you turn to Christ? I turn to Christ. Do you submit to Christ? The way, the truth, and the life. I submit to Christ. This is a way of saying, Lord Jesus, I turn from a life where I'm in the driving seat. I trust you that you want the best for me. And I want to put you in the driving seat. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, wrote John, the writer of this gospel here, in one of his letters. It's in 1 John 3:9. If you're a gardener, you might lavish love on your plants that need your attention and care. It's a picture in John chapter 15 of what God is doing for you and for me, lavishing his love. And what does this love look like? Well, greater love, says Jesus, and no one than this, than they lay down their life for their friends, verse 12. That's the sort of love that's been lavished on you. We remembered it on Good Friday 9 days ago as we gathered in Peckham Square. We celebrated its power and its love of Jesus dying on a cross and rising to new life on Easter Day last Sunday. That's the same power that God wants to release through any branch of his true vine, Jesus Christ. God is at work in his kingdom like a passionate vineyard gardener tending his vines. Of anyone who's turned from a kingdom where they're king to the kingdom where Jesus is king. Does this make sense? I know a little bit about vines. I'm going to show you a picture of one of my holiday jobs when I was saving for a VW Polo. Do you remember that? Yeah. Here it is. Do any of you know where this is? It does look like France, doesn't it? Yeah, a trick question. In fact, it's the Moselle Valley in Germany, just above a town called Bernkastel. This is where I was working. And it produces some of the greatest sweet wines anywhere in the world, the Moselle Valley. It's world famous. But I was working there in winter, and this is what it looked like. There's the next picture. Yeah. Now, have a look at that. I was working there. I'll tell you what I was doing. Can you see those big like poles around which the vines are growing? It was my job to start pretty near the bottom of that hill, carry them all the way up the hill. I mean, this was hill training of another kind. I mean, I'll tell you. Carrying, I could manage two, the other vineyard workers. They were like carrying 10. Anyway, we'd carry them up this icy slope. And the vineyard gardener, we don't have an English word for that. But the word in the Greek that Jesus uses, the Germans have a word for it. In case you're interested, it's Winzer. They're Winzer. He's the expert telling everybody, saving up for their car like me, what to do. And his job throughout the whole year, rain or shine or snow like here, is to expertly care for the vines. What does that involve? It involves, verse 2, John 15, my Father prunes the vines. Why does he do that? So they will be fruitful. This picture, it looks like just sticks of wood with other sticks next to them. How could anything fruitful grow on that, you think, in the middle of winter? It does. It's the picture Jesus gives of God who loves you with a relentless love and who prunes you. It's the same word, pruning, for to make clean. You are already clean, Jesus says, because of my word in you. When he died on a cross, he took all the rubbish, to keep the gardening analogy, all the weeds that was in our life. The Bible calls it sin. He removed all its power to have a hold on us. But he hasn't finished there. He is in the pruning work that is ongoing as der Winzer in the Moselle Valley works 24/7 with his team to produce the best possible grapes. God is like this. He is at work in any life connected to the vine to make them clean, cleaning out the rubbish. What God is doing through Jesus as he dies on a cross. Baptism is a sign of it. You go under the water, a sign of washing. So Jesus says, you've been made clean. You've received this new start. You've started to receive the love God lavishes on you with the same love that I received from him. But like any good parent, like any good gardener, he doesn't then just leave you to get on with growing on your own. In order to grow, you've got to go through some uncomfortable things. So here's the question. It's this morning's question. What is God at work at in your life? Like a good parent, like a good gardener. There's a myth, a misunderstanding that says, that thinks that God wants to prune out anything that's enjoyable. Well, let me tell you, that's rubbish. God is the inventor of joy. He wants to prune that myth out of our thinking. He's the source of love. He's the source of blessing. Joy is his purpose. But he's at work pruning everything that stops me from being fruitful. Just as De Vinci, the vineyard gardener, knows the potential of his vines to produce the best of its kind in the world, God our Father knows the potential he's intended for you. And that's what he wants to grow. Another part of the New Testament says this, that you are meant to do good works he planned in advance for you to do. But as a branch can't bear any grapes on its own, disconnected from the vine, you can't do these good works disconnected from Jesus. So the same place in the Bible says, so no one can boast your God-given potential. Well, harvest, there's meant to be in your life, just as the harvest of a vine is grapes. It's only possible, the full potential and the power of his Holy Spirit. You see amazing people doing amazing things with their gifts they have. Imagine your gifts harnessed to the love and the power of the Lord Jesus in his kingdom. You know, with your gifts, your impact could be pretty great. But compare that with the impact of life in the kingdom, where you're connected to the relentless love and infinite power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. But there's a pruning to be done, a removing of anything that blocks the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you and me. We had at All Saints a couple of weeks back a staff team training day. And we were given a challenging question by Andy, who was leading it. So we are taking it into our annual reviews that are going on right now. And it was this. This is the question. What area in your life are you working on? And another way of putting it, what do you need to improve in? You know, even if you're pretty good, what do you need to grow in? Now this morning, here's another way of putting that. What area is God working at? God the gardener, God the Father. What area is he working on in your life that he wants you to join in with? Now unless you're Jesus, there is some area. And as we heard at our staff training day, if you haven't got an answer to that question, well, what you should be working on is finding an answer to the question. What is God wanting to do, however uncomfortable it is, in your life so that you can join in with what he's doing? If I was to ask my vine here, what area are you working at in your life? The vine would say to me, well, actually, I'm really dependent on the gardener. And what he's done is he's pruned all my branches. Once upon a time, I was quite attached to them, but now I've only got these ones at the top left. And I'm amazed I've never grown such wonderful grapes. That's what he'd say. You're like branches of the vine. What area is the gardener working on with his relentless love in you that might feel a bit uncomfortable? Pruning tends to. And it's not only just things like lies or murder or lust. They do need to be pruned by God. He's in the pruning business of those. But other things that start off as a gift and become addictive. So you find you're spending hours and hours connected to them. A habit you're always doing. A thought you're always thinking. Anyone or anything who takes the place that Jesus wants to have connected to him. Again and again, we find ourselves, if you're like me, wanting to have the driving seat to live in my kingdom. And again, with his relentless love, Jesus invites us into his kingdom, where his character, his power, it is summed up by, this is my command, love each other. Whatever way you're getting the love of God out, that's fruit. Whatever way. You can wash tea towels for the kingdom of God, for God's sake. You can get alongside children for God's sake. You can do whatever you do, if it's not a sinful activity, if you're doing it for the Lord and with the Lord, that's the fruit of the kingdom. The church is called to declare Jesus is king. So everything we do is for the kingdom. It's not about filling up rotas. It's not about doing stuff. It's about joining in with what God is doing. If he's not doing it, let's stop. You know, if he's not doing it, let's stop. If he is doing it, let's join in. God the Father, Jesus' Son, and God the Holy Spirit has glorious purposes for you. We said he had them for Joshua because it was true. And he has them for me. He has a potential. Jesus wants you to massively and incredibly fulfill, connected with him. Apart from me, said Jesus, you can do nothing. Here's how I'm going to close. I'm going to close with a prayer that is like this, that asks God to prune any attachment to anything or anyone that is stopping me from being fruitful, to fulfill the amazing potential, the glorious purpose God put me in the world. And I just say, me. If it's your prayer, you can echo it in your heart. You could be attached to a memory in the past that simply makes it impossible to believe God loves you. You could be attached to a grief in the past that God wants to comfort you in and day by day heal you in. You could be attached to something or someone so attractive, it's become the overriding addiction in your life and taken the place of God. I don't know what it is. I know every gardener's got a lot of weeding to do. I know our Father in heaven has got a lot of pruning to do in my life. And if unless you're Jesus, that's true for you as well. So if this is your prayer, you can simply echo it in your heart with me afterwards. The worship band are going to come forward now as they pray this prayer. Almighty God, you are our Father in heaven. You are a gardener. Your Son Jesus is the vine. I am like a branch of the vine. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you care about me. Show me, I pray, what you are working on in my life and long for me to join in with you. Show me every attachment that is not fruitful. It's not for my good. And it's not for the world's good. It's preventing me from fulfilling my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Release me, I pray, for the good works you planned in advance for me to do, connected to you so no one can boast. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.